Good morning. Thank you for coming here this morning to share the Dharma together and to bear witness to our ceremony of entering the gate. This morning we will work on a koan from the Wu Men Guan. The Wu Men Guan is the first of the classical collections of koans that we work with in our curriculum here in this lineage. It was compiled during the early part of the Sung Dynasty by Master Wu Men. And he took 48 cases. These cases are, for the most part, sayings and doings of the great masters of the Tang era, which was ended a couple of hundred years before the Sung Dynasty. And he took a case, he then wrote a brief commentary, or sometimes fairly lengthy, and then he also added a four-line verse to explicate the koan and to help us along with it. As we will see, this one is a little bit different. Wu Men Guan, case number 35. The case reads, Wu Zu asked a monk, the woman Qian and her spirit separated. Which is the true Qian? The story of Qian appears in various Chinese books of ghost stories and is as follows. In a place called Hanyang lived a man called Zhang Qian, whose youngest daughter, Qian, was very beautiful and the pride of her father. He also had a handsome nephew named Wang Zhao. And Zhang Qian, as a joke, used to say they would make a fine married couple. The two young people, however, took this jesting seriously and thought of themselves as engaged, being in love with each other. When Qian grew up, a man of rank asked for her in marriage. Her father decided to comply with the offer, and tragedy could not be avoided. Qian was deeply distressed, and Zhao, angered and grieving, resolved to leave home and go to another province. The next day, he got a boat ready for his journey, and after sunset, without bidding farewell to anyone, he proceeded up the river. But in the middle of the night, he was startled by a voice calling to him, "Wait, wait, it is I!" And he saw a girl running along the bank toward the boat. It was Qian. Zhao was unspeakably delighted. Qian sprang into the boat, and the lovers found their way safely to the province of Zhou. There they lived happily for 6 years and had two children. Qian, however, could not forget her parents and often longed to see them again. So they decided to return and ask for her parents' forgiveness. When they arrived at the father's house, her husband went first into the house and apologized to the father for taking his daughter far away from her home and begged him to forgive them. "What is the meaning of all this?" exclaims the father. "Who is this woman?" "This is Qian," replied Zhao. "Nonsense," said her father. "When you went away, Qian became ill and has been in bed for all these years. That's not Qian at all." Zhao went back to the boat and brought Qian back to the house. Being told of this, the Qian lying in bed arose and went toward her, and the two became one. Zhang said that after Zhao had left, his daughter never spoke and lay there as if in a stupor. The spirit must have gone from the body. Qian said that she hadn't known her body was in the house. When she felt Zhao's love and saw him go, she had followed him as if in a dream, but after that remembered nothing. Wu Men's commentary. If you realize the true one, then you'll know that emerging from one husk and entering another is like a traveler putting up at an inn. If this is not clear, don't rush about wildly. When you suddenly separate into earth, water, fire, and air, you'll be like a crab dropped into boiling water, struggling with your 7 arms and 8 legs. Don't say I didn't warn you. Wu Men's verse. The moon and the clouds are ever the same. Different from each other, the mountain and the valley. How wonderful, how blessed. Is this one? Is this two? This is not your usual koan. But then Wu Zu is not your usual master either. His koans tend to be at the top of Hakuin's list of nanto koan, the hard-to-solve koans. This time he takes an old Chinese folktale and throws it out there as a puzzle. Wu Zu Fa Yin, whose dates are 1024 to 1104 of the Common Era, was a Sung Dynasty master and the teacher of Yan Wu, the commentator of the Blue Cliff Record. That's another collection of koans that we work on here. And also a direct ancestor of Wu Men. So it's all in the family here. Wu Zu's life has been discussed in other taishos at some length, but I'll give a short summary here because it is relevant to this koan. A seminal incident happened when he was a young man studying Buddhist philosophy. A fellow student challenged the teacher, saying, "If subject and object are one, how can that fact be realized?" The teacher replied, "It is like drinking water and knowing personally whether or not it is warm or cold." Wu Zu thought to himself, "I know about warm and cold, but I don't know about personally." His teacher was unable to explain and suggested that he take up Zen training. After spending some time wandering, Wu Zu eventually settled down with Bai Yun, a master of the house of Lin Ji. One day he heard the master say the following during a taisho: "There are several Zen monks who have had Satori. If you have them speak, they give beautiful talks. If you ask them regarding koans, they answer clearly. If you ask them to write pithy commentaries, they do so nicely. Yet they have not attained it." They had not attained it. They had not realized personally. Wu Zu had to work on this for a long time, but eventually he realized personally. All of Wu Zu's koans address this matter of realizing it personally. Wu Zu asked a monk, "The woman Qian and her spirit separated. Which is the true Qian?" The central figure of this koan is a young woman. She's not a nun. She's not any kind of a practitioner, but a layperson. The story has a curiously modern feel to it. How many novels, plays, movies, soap operas hinge on the theme of forbidden love? How many of these stories contain elements of the supernatural, the strange, the inexplicable? One can imagine Rod Sterling introducing this in the Twilight Zone. Picture, if you will. Two young people are growing up together. A relative or a friend makes an offhand remark, "The two of you should get married someday." Kids take that kind of thing very seriously and make all kinds of assumptions and plans with the parents completely unaware. And when the two young people announce their engagement, there is shock and horror over this unsuitable match. Marry a garage mechanic? Heavens no. They're going to finishing school in Boston, then maybe a year or two at the Sorbonne. Then we'll talk about a nice young man of good family. Parents have dreams for their children. On the one hand, this tale is something of a ghost story, but on the other, it's a rather prosaic account of a family squabble, an overbearing parent, and unhappy and rebellious teenagers. It's not about enlightened people, monks, nuns, and so forth. There is no Dharma encounter. We don't get to noodle around with where do you see Nanchuan here or Baijiang or somebody. There are no Zen masters, just two desperate young people doing what some would regard as foolish and others would approve as an escape from a tyrannical parent. As lay practitioners, this is where we have to seek our own enlightenment. In the turmoil and confusion of our messy, turbulent, emotional lives in the world. In the passions, in the tearful and angry confrontations between parents and children. In unjust work rules or biased juries or official misconduct. Where do we find that personal experience of the transcendent? No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. That is our assignment from Master Wu Zu. Can you find enlightenment right there in the midst of ignorance and delusion? In ancient China, as in a lot of pre-industrial societies, women were chattels. The only value a girl child had was as an item for barter, for forging alliances through marriage between families, for political or economic advantage. Or maybe if you were poor and desperate, the child was sold into slavery or prostitution. Sometimes a marriage wasn't all that different. The new wife became the slave of the mother-in-law or of the more senior wives. And polygamy was accepted then, and there are places where all that is happening today. Marriage for love was considered improper. After all, what were lovers and mistresses for? The philosopher David Loy writes, "The Greeks and the Romans were not unfamiliar with romantic love. Yet for them it was the exception rather than the rule, and they looked upon it more as an illness. Plutarch called love a frenzy. Some had believed it was a madness. Those who are in love must be forgiven as though ill." Qian and Zhao were in love and therefore sick. It was not to be countenanced. We have to understand clearly these rules were ironclad. They were so much a part of the culture that they were hardly even recognized as rules. And in that time and place, there would be no sympathy whatsoever for Qian and her plight. A daughter's duty was to her family, and that was that. The older daughters were married off or sold off. The younger daughter was never to marry, but was to remain home to care for her aging parents. Now, in the face of her parents' refusal, the young man, Zhao, was devastated. In his distress, he decides to skip town, start over somewhere, try to forget, hop a bus to Kansas City. But for a young woman in that time, in that culture, there was no such escape. No escape whatever. Qian is trapped. And at the same time, torn apart, torn between the iron rule of family duty and her love for the young man. And that is where you have to be to deal with this koan, in the trap, the impossible situation. And in our lives and in our practice, it is the impossible situation that gives us the wherewithal to do the impossible. We have to enter into that place where the impossible becomes possible. We talk about liberation, but where is it to be found? In the Chen who lies in bed unspeaking? Or in the Chen who has run off and gotten married and had children? If you get caught up in the old traps of either or both and neither, you will remain lost. You have to find in this koan and in yourself that place of transcendence where the usual questions become irrelevant. Wu Min comments, if you realize the true one, then you'll know that emerging from one husk and entering another is like the traveler putting up at an inn. If this is not clear, don't rush about wildly. When you suddenly separate into earth, water, fire, and air, you'll be like a crab dropped into boiling water, struggling with your 7 arms and 8 legs. Don't say, I didn't warn you. We move from one husk to another, like travelers putting up at an inn. We are also torn, trapped in this husk of our mortality, our worldly desires for food, fame, sex, and all the rest of it, yet at the same time longing for that which is free of desire and does not know of birth and death. We move from one life to another, one job to another, from wellness to illness and back, from happiness to sadness and back, and even from ignorance to enlightenment and back. And it's all okay. Yong Jia writes, many births, many deaths. I am serene in this cycle. There is no end to it. If this is not clear, don't rush about wildly. When you suddenly separate into earth, water, fire and air, you'll be like a crab dropped into boiling water, struggling with your 7 arms and 8 legs. Don't say I didn't warn you. When I was a kid, my family occasionally visited the old Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. All along the sidewalk, there were these huge vats where live crabs were plunged into boiling water. I don't know if they're still there, but even now I cringe when I think about it. When I was a kid, I read that already. When faced like Chen with an insoluble dilemma, what will you do? What do you do if you are told you have an incurable disease and will die in 3 months? Or you have been convicted of a heinous crime of which you know you are innocent, but for which you will spend the rest of your life in prison? Or that you will be required to marry someone you have never met in order to save the family fortune? Where does that put you? It puts you at the edge of a precipice. There are times when, like Chen, we are driven to the edge. It is only from there that we can make the leap that takes us beyond narrowness. This is the great letting go, the leap of faith, its dana, relinquishment. Great action does not stem from letting go. Great letting go is great action, beyond self, beyond other, good or evil. In our work on the mat, we actually seek out that precipice, the edge of our practice. And like Chen, we must also seek it in the depths of our own lives of delusion and ignorance. Wu Min's verse. The moon and clouds are ever the same. Different from each other, the mountain and the valley. How wonderful, how blessed. Is this one? Is this two? Moon and clouds, ever the same? Full moon, quarter moon, moon on a clear night, moon veiled in cloud. Are they the same? Are they different? Mountains and valleys, different from each other? Where does a mountain end and a valley begin? It's all one land. It's all one great earth. One or two? Doesn't matter. Standing outside in the night under the stars, sitting on your mat, washing the dishes, laughing, crying. What is really important? Where is your true self? Together with all beings, we realize the way.